Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and is to be found on page 1083. John, chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be ever more fruitful. You are already clean, because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Janet. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for your word. And we ask now that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to us through your word, and that we would know you, know Lord Jesus, know the Holy Spirit more closely as a result of our time now in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please do, if you've got one of our spanking new Bibles, just read the pages, keep sticking because they're so new, you know, sort of 1083. It's always good to make sure the preacher is preaching from the Bible and not making it up. Well, if it's anything like in Sam's house with Sophia and Charlie as it is in our house, there are some things that Sam probably says time after time after time. In our house, it's things like use soap when you wash your hands, or clean your teeth, or use a tissue, put your hand over your mouth, you know, those type of things. With my mum, it was always put a clean pair of underwear on before you go out, Dave. And that was when I was in my 40s, you know, as well, sort of thing. And as you can see, it's really stuck with me. I remember that. I remember it clearly. But I don't really remember why. You know, she kept saying it, but I don't really remember why she kept saying it. What was the reason behind it? It made me think that when Ailish and I tell, you know, go on at Jacob to do stuff, whether we actually explain, you know, why it's good for him, why in the long run it might be a good thing. And I think part of it is that we're a bit worried about how things reflect on us. My mum used to insist that I wore clean underwear in case she said, "Oh, you know, you could have an accident, you might go to hospital." You know, so what? You know, there I am on the bed, you know, sort of broken legs and everything, and all she's worried about, well, I've got clean pants on. You know? She was worried that it might reflect on her badly for the doctors to see me in dirty underwear. Well, in our Bible reading today, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and we hear him saying some things time after time after time. You probably heard it as Janet read. He talks about vines and branches quite a lot. He talks about remain in me or remain in my love, or, you know, either positively or negatively. And he talks about bearing fruit time after time. And clearly, when we see Jesus repeat himself so much in a passage, we know it's really important. We've got to take note of it. So why is Jesus saying these things, and what does it mean? Well, ultimately, the answer is in verse 8 of our reading, when Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory." Jesus wants his disciples to reflect God accurately, to reflect God positively in their lives, giving the honour and the praise and their worship to God, because he deserves it. He's the only one who deserves it, the creator, the sustainer of everything. And then Jesus goes on to say in the rest of verse 8 that the way to do that, the way to give glory to God the Father, is by showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus always glorified God in his life. And so Jesus expects his disciples to do the same. And in our passage, Jesus describes that glorifying of God as showing as being, as we did earlier, those grapes, those signs of fruit produced on the branch of a vine. And as we now look at this passage, our passage today, in its context, we'll see that what Jesus means is that the fruit that we produce is totally reliant on our relationship with the Lord Jesus. The way that Jesus wants us to give our Father in heaven that glory is to be in a loving and obedient relationship with Jesus. A relationship that, by God's grace, will mean that we will be like Jesus, we'll look like him, we'll copy what he does. And we'll produce the fruit that he wants us to. Produce fruit in telling other people about him. Produce fruit in our lifestyles, in the things that we say and do and so on. We produce fruit when we come into contact with people, and maybe, hopefully, they then become Christians as well. If we call ourselves disciples, if we've committed our lives to the Lord Jesus, how do we go about that then? Well, we start by listening to what Jesus says in the Bible, in God's word. So let's start at verse 1, and to first understand why Jesus says, I just talked about earlier when I did the activity, the vine, but Jesus says in verse 1, the true vine. What's he mean by that? We have to go back to the Old Testament of the Bible, the first half of the Bible, and there are many references there to a vine. And the vine is a symbol for the people of Israel, the people that God chose to be his representatives and to tell the world about him. They were chosen by him. And the people of Israel were regarded as a vine that was taken up out of captivity in Egypt and sort of transplanted, planted into this lovely new luscious land that God gave for them. If you read in Psalm 80, let me read a couple of verses from Psalm 80. And this is what one of those descendants of in the Jewish peoples wrote. Verse 8 and 9 of Psalm 80. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land. God expected his chosen people, the vine, to reach out their branches and bear great fruit, telling the world about how great God is and the joy of being in relationship with him, so that others might be interested and become part of God's family as well. But the Bible tells us that the people of Israel failed. They failed to do that time and time again. And eventually they were cut down. They were dug up. They were invaded. They were exiled. They were occupied by foreign empires. And through all this, God did not get the glory that he deserved. And you might, if you were around a few weeks ago, you might remember that we did a series about the Bible and all that the Bible is to us. And in one of those sermons, David, our vicar, was explaining to us how Jesus fulfills everything that's in the Old Testament. The Old Testament always looks forward to Jesus. It's the story, the whole Bible is a story of Jesus. And our passage today is one of those specific points in the New Testament where Jesus fulfills something in the Old Testament. Jesus was the representative of Israel. What he did, the people of Israel were unable to do. And so we call Jesus the true Israel or the true vine. And that's where that comes from when he says, I am the true vine. So in verse 1, Jesus says that it's only through him as the true vine that people that are in rebellion against God, who have gone their own ways, want to live their own lives, it's only through Jesus that they can be reconciled to God in a personal relationship. But the amazing thing is that Jesus involves us in that involvement, in that fulfillment. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, but then he says, you are the branches. And as the branches of Jesus, the vine, he sends us out from himself to carry out his work on his behalf. Now we can check that's what Jesus means when he talks about branches, because our passage sort of fits into a bigger passage of chapters 13 to 17 in John's Gospel. And in those chapters, Jesus has spent the evening with his disciples. And he's been telling them that he's going to be betrayed. And in fact, Judas leaves halfway through to do that. Jesus tells his disciples he's going to his death. He tells his disciples that he's going to leave them behind to continue his mission on his behalf. And during the course of the evening, he gives them final instructions and he gives them encouragement so they can face that challenge ahead. Including, as we heard so wonderfully last week from David, that Jesus gives his disciples the Holy Spirit to equip and to guide them to do that. But verse 20 of chapter 13 says that Jesus says to the disciples during this time, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Jesus says that he's sending the disciples to continue his work, the work that God the Father sent Jesus to begin. So as we look back at verse 5 in our passage, having said he's the vine, Jesus tells us that his followers, his disciples, the disciples then, us here today, if we believe in Jesus, if we trust Jesus, that now we're his branches sent by him, Jesus the vine, into the world, into our workplace, into our families, into our friendships, our leisure time, to represent him. But just in case we misunderstand what sending out means, Jesus emphasizes these commands time and time again. He says it only works if you stay attached to me. A branch that is not attached to the vine is useless and dies. So Jesus repeats himself. Verses 4 to 6, he keeps saying, remain in me, either in the positive or the negative way. Verses 9 and 10, remain in my love, he says. Something like 8 or 9 times altogether, so we get the point. Only when we remain in Jesus, only then, we will produce the fruit that gives glory to God. The fruit of telling others about Jesus, about the good news of his death and resurrection. The fruit of demonstrating in our lifestyles, our choices, our priorities, that our character, our identity is in the Lord Jesus. That character might look something like the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the writer Paul writes into the letter to Galatians, when he talks about the different fruit that we see when the Holy Spirit is within us. Love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and self-control and patience. I think I've got them all. All those shown completely in Jesus. And every time we show those characteristics, we bear the good fruit on the branch and give glory to God. So we bear fruit in telling others about Jesus. We bear fruit in those characteristics. We bear fruit when we pray in tune to God's will. Verses 7 and 16, Jesus says, if you pray in my name, you'll get what you want. You'll get what you ask. If we're attached to Jesus, we see that fruit and we give glory in that way. We see fruit when we demonstrate love for each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus, as Jesus says in verse 12 and verse 17, love one another. And just in case we don't get the point, as he repeats himself time after time, he makes it clear in verse 5 by turning it around very clearly. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me, bear fruit, and give glory to God. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, remaining attached to Jesus, the vine, deepening our personal relationship with Jesus through love and obedience is going to look different for each one of us, because our circumstances are different. But some things are going to be the same. And so we need to be studying and dwelling and looking at God's word, either in our own time or in small groups, listening to sermons like now, podcasts and stuff like that. We need to come together as a people and worship God and sing and pray and praise him together and encourage each other. We need to pray privately and corporately. We need to do that, whatever it needs, whatever it takes, to ensure that we are remaining tightly into Jesus the vine and not risking disconnection from him through misguided priorities, through ungodly decisions and so on. Which brings us to pruning. Now, whether or not our branches to Jesus' vine bear some fruit, a little bit of fruit, fantastic fruit, massive grapes, those branches will need pruning back again. They'll need cleaning up in order that they can produce more fruit. Now, I'm not a gardener, but I do know a bit about, you know, cutting rose bushes and something like that. I think it's a bit the same with vines. But if you allow a vine to grow unchecked, well, the branches are going to become prolific. It's going to get very leafy. It'll all get tangled up. The air won't get through. The grapes won't grow. To stop us getting overgrown and tangled up, verse 2, Jesus says that every branch that does bear fruit for God, God will prune. So it will be even more fruitful. Now, some of those secateurs are pretty vicious, aren't they? If you've got some of those at home, or as a blunt, but anyway, but some of them are really sharp. And pruning doesn't sound particularly nice. But, you know, God alone knows each of us. He knows what we need to produce the fruit in our lives to give glory to God. And so if we follow Jesus, we have to willingly submit to those times when he chooses to prune us and cut us back. And how God does that, how God prunes us and cuts us back again, how he brings our attention back to him will be different for all of us, because our circumstances are different. Depends what we're doing, what we're up to, and so on. But if something painful, something frustrating, something unexplainable is going on in our lives, well, maybe the first thing we need to do is to just check that we haven't allowed our relationship with Jesus the vine to be stretched, and that we're just hanging on instead of being tightly into Jesus. But it may be that our relationship with Jesus is firmly attached. It may be that, you know, our relationship with Jesus and God is really good, and there may not be a quick and obvious answer to why some struggling things are going on in our life. And Jesus says in those cases, remain in me, remain in my love, trust me. And he also says in this respect, love each other, remain in each other's love, part of God's love. Verse 17, because we need each other. As brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, we need to be supporting each other and praying for each other, practically helping each other during those times. Now, I should just say something very briefly about the rest of verse 2, where Jesus says that God will cut off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit. And as with Judas, who betrayed and left Jesus, we're talking here about people who were never really true disciples in the first place. Followers of Jesus whose commitment was superficial, was deceitful. Judas was attached to Jesus the vine. He benefited from the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. But he didn't do what Jesus was asking. He didn't produce fruit. He didn't glorify God, and he was cut off. But you know, there's no danger of being cut off from Jesus the vine if our hearts are wholeheartedly committed to the Lord Jesus. Yes, we will mess up. I mess up all the time. And I think, oh, you know, how can I be a Christian when I mess up so much? But if our hearts are committed to the Lord Jesus and we're willing to be pruned and cut back by him, there are verses in the Bible like that fantastic verse in Romans 8, verse 1, which say, there is now no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So as I start to draw to a close, let's come back to the main purpose. We remain in relationship with Jesus, so we bear good fruit, so we glorify God. But you might ask, well, why should we do that? Perhaps if you're here today and you're not yet a Christian, you might not like the sound of being permanently attached to Jesus or being pruned by God, the gardener. You might be thinking, well, who is God? What's he like? What's he like that you're saying, David, I should worship and glorify and give my life to him? Well, the answer to those questions is to try and get a clearer picture of God. And the way we do that is to look at Jesus. There's a clue in verse 15 of our passage when Jesus says that he's left nothing hidden. He says, everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. In the previous chapter, it's much clearer. When he's talking, Philip, one of the disciples, has asked him a question, and Jesus says, anyone who has seen me, that's Jesus, has seen the Father. Later on in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writes in chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is the exact representation of God. And when Paul writes to the Colossian Christians in chapter 1, verse 15, Paul writes that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. To know what God is like and why he deserves the glory in our worship, well, we're invited to look at Jesus. We're invited to read the first-hand accounts of those disciples who spent 3 intensive years with him and wrote it all down in the Bible. Those same disciples who went out in the power of the Holy Spirit and did marvellous, amazing, courageous things because they believed in Jesus. You read that in the book of Acts. We read what they said. We read what Jesus did. We read what Jesus said. And we see God revealed to us, and we can know him. And as we heard last week, as David was telling us about Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit will keep on reminding us that Jesus is the revelation of God, and we should look at him. And what is revealed? What will we find if we look at Jesus? We'll find that, and John says this throughout his book, that Jesus is the Word of God that brought things into creation. That he's the Lord of all, with the power to heal, the power to raise people from the dead. He's got God's authority because he forgives sins. He's the king that sends us, and he's the commander that instructs us. And yet, as verse 13 to 15 of our passage tell us, he's also our closest friend. A friend that loves us so much that he's also our rescuer. He's also our saviour. He's our saviour because he willingly and obediently went to the cross and died. Laid down his life for you and for me. Laid down his life to pay the punishment for your sin and for my sin. Our closest friend and our rescuer. So that we too can be in the Father, restored to a personal and eternal relationship with the Father. That would be separated for good if it wasn't for Jesus. That's what Jesus is like. That's what God is like. All powerful, merciful, just and holy. He's the sovereign God who yet adopts us as his children. His love is unfailing. He deserves my worship. He deserves your worship. He deserves everybody's worship. And if we're committed to the Lord Jesus, if we follow Jesus, then as the branches of Jesus, it's our job, it's our task to tell others and hope they see that too. And then finally, because God is so full of grace, Jesus shares his joy with us as well. Jesus says in verse 11 of our passage, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy will be complete. When we submit to and remain in Jesus, remain in his love, when we draw on the love and support of Jesus the vine, when we willingly submit to the pruning and the cutting back, when we demonstrate that love in supporting and loving each other, we will know his joy. And what joy is that? It's the joy of heaven. The joy of knowing Jesus has rescued us. The joy of being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The joy of sharing the news of Jesus with others. The joy of seeing others come to know Jesus for the first time. The joy of being in the true vine, in the family of God forever. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave up everything, that glory in heaven, to become a human being, to become the God-man, to be our Saviour. Thank you that through your resurrection and your ascension to heaven, you stand beside the Father, the King, the Lord of all. Thank you that if we believe that, that we can join you in the family of God, empowered by your Holy Spirit, equipped and guided by your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, I pray that if we're here today and we're already Christians and we're struggling, please help us to pull ourselves back into that vine. Give us the desire, give us the people, give us the equipment to draw ourselves tightly back in to the Lord Jesus, that we might glorify you, Lord, in the fruit that we produce in your name. And Lord, if we are here today and we're not yet Christians, Holy Spirit, would you stir our hearts to know that without you we are nothing, that without the Lord Jesus we are lost. Please etch that on our hearts this morning, we pray. And we pray this in Jesus, our King and Saviour's name. Amen.